Father, as we come gathered here today, we come as many who have gathered before to speak of the light of the world. We thank you for the true light of the world that came into the world and that you sent straight from heaven in order that he might reveal you to us, and then also in order that he might reveal how we could be reconciled to you, how we could find our way back to you after we had strayed, how we could find our way out of the darkness and into the light, and how we could have the joy and hope of eternal life, and how we could realize the full purpose of what you had originally planned for us. And so today we pray that you will make this message clear to us and bring it home to us as never before, even those of us who already know you and already walk with you, that we would understand just what you have done for us by bringing your light into this world. And we pray, Lord, that your light will shine brightly in these dark days and that we will be bearers of that light. Use the gospel in 2012, we pray, to bring millions or billions to yourself around the world. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you're among those who like to follow the notes and fill in the blanks and have something to take home to look at later, now would be the time to get that, and you should find that in your bulletin. Yes, we were talking about the light just in the last week or two, and it's certainly a topic of Christmas. Jesus is the light. So I was thinking of that. You know, I was blessed in preparing this message because it brought home to me, really, as never before, just how good the good news is. Have you ever heard the gospel? Gospel means good news. Have you ever heard the gospel called the good news? You know, and we send people all around the world to share the good news. And we've heard the good news, and we've received the good news. But how good is the good news? And I don't think we can really know just how good the good news is unless we know how bad the bad news is. And that's something I'm not hearing a lot from pulpits today. But we've got to know, and we've got to be reminded. Even as a believer, when I'm reminded of how bad it was, when I'm reminded of what awaited me outside of Christ, when I'm reminded of just how sinful my own heart was before Almighty and Holy God, it helps me to appreciate that much more what God has done for me through Christ. So, there's probably hardly any new material here at all today, but there sure are some reminders. Point number one, general observations on our topic today. This one is just absolutely basic. Darkness is the absence of light. That's why when a light comes on, it always overcomes the darkness. Because darkness is simply the absence of light. You don't have a switch on the wall and you say, would somebody turn on the dark? No. If there's no light, you're already in the dark. There used to be that little thing, where was Moses when the lights went out? And the answer was, in the dark. Darkness is the absence of light. Number two, the day Adam and Eve sinned, how many know that story? Anybody here doesn't know the story of the garden and of Eden and of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And how Satan tempted and Eve ate and then gave to Adam to eat? And then the reckoning that came after that? The day Adam and Eve sinned, the world was immediately plunged into darkness. Adam, who had been made in the image and the glory of God, which is what we were studying about on Wednesday night in our Bible study, to reflect the glory of God and to have dominion over the earth. And God does the whole thing and gives it to Adam and says, now, Adam, this is all yours. Subdue it. administer it for me, became a slave that day to the prince of darkness. And the prince of darkness has been in charge ever since. And in the brightest desert or the deepest jungle, that darkness, nothing has been able to dissipate it except the coming of Christ. And I have here, and we have never recovered. Number three, the sin we see around us each day is a direct result of what happened in Eden. The sin we see around us each day is a direct result of what happened in Eden. And the earth remains under a curse because of man's sin. Do you remember in the garden, God says, because of you, the earth is under a curse. And every single seed of Adam has been born separated from God without any spiritual life whatsoever. And that is why Jesus says to Nicodemus, the learned religious man, except a man be born again, he cannot what? See or enter the kingdom of God. And it's all directly connected. Now, we can hear a nice little story about the garden and Adam and Eve and the fruit and all that. And we hear it and we know it and we can say it and we can recite it. But it doesn't really touch us. It's something that happened a long, long time ago. And so we just kind of have a fuzzy notion about just what that was and what that meant. Well, I'm going to share with you a few things here this morning that maybe will bring it a little bit closer to home, because I think these are things that are a result of Eden that maybe some of us here today have had some contact with and some knowledge of. Every time we hear of another murder, another robbery, another home invasion, or another assault, it's a direct result of what happened in Eden. Every time we hear on the news of another case of incest, rape, or sexual abuse, it is a direct result of what happened in Eden. Every time we hear of another earthquake, tsunami, or devastating storm, it is a direct result of what happened in Eden. Are these things you hear about? Every time we hear of another case of domestic violence, another couple splitting up, prolonged custody battles, and children in foster care, it is a result of what happened in Eden. Every time you hear of another case of verbal abuse or hear someone belt out a string of profanity, it is a direct result of what happened in Eden. When you hear about hunger, poverty, man's inhumanity to man, repressive regimes sacrificing their own people, and the denial of human rights, it's all a result of what happened in Eden. When you hear of dishonest business practices, Ponzi schemes, tax evasion, corporate greed, or insider stock trading, it's all a result of what happened in Eden. When you hear of dishonest politicians, preferential treatment in our courts for the wealthy or well-connected, and miscarriages of justice, it's all a result of what happened in Eden. Every time you hear of another suicide, another case of mental illness, or substance abuse and addiction, or people getting drunk out of their minds, it's all a result of what happened in Eden. Every time you hear of organized crime, drug wars, or human trafficking, it's a direct result of what happened in Eden. Every time you hear an ambulance siren, hear of someone's untimely death, learn of yet someone else who has had a stroke, been diagnosed with cancer, or heart trouble, or kidney problems, or liver problems, or a skin rash, or the shingles, we could go on and on. It's all because of what happened in Eden. When you hear of stillbirth, a miscarriage, or another woman intentionally opting to have the child she is carrying aborted, it's all because of what happened in Eden. Every time you hear the cry of a bereaved parent, see the tears of a mom and dad over the waywardness of a child they love, or see another row of flag-draped coffins in an airplane hangar on the evening news, it's directly because of what happened in Eden. Every time you hear of another bar fight, another drunk driver casualty, and another death from hazing, it's all because of what happened in Eden. Every time you pull a weed, spray for mosquitoes, swat a fly, kill a spider because it might be poisonous, squash a roach, or find a tick on your pet, it's because of what happened in Eden. When you hear of people bowing down to false gods, getting involved in the occult or in witchcraft, worshiping idols, consulting mediums, casting spells, or killing others in the name of religion, it's a direct result of what happened in Eden. When you hear of church people angry with each other, churches splitting over petty issues, and Christians taking each other to court, it's directly because of what happened in Eden. When you hear of ministries misrepresenting themselves, TV evangelists taking advantage of people for gain, and false teachers attracting large followings, it's because of what happened in Eden. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars and nation rising against nation and armed conflicts and civil strife, it's all a direct result of what happened in Eden. And we could go on here this morning and we could further paint the picture for you, but I think you get the idea. And all of that is from the darkness that came on the day that Adam and Eve sinned. And the only thing that will dissipate darkness is what? Light. And that brings us to our next point. The only answer to darkness is light. And there is no light but God's only Son. Jesus is the only light. There is no other light. You're not going to find this light in a Buddhist temple. You're not going to find it in a Hindu temple. You're not going to find it in a Shinto temple. You're not going to find it in the occult. You're not going to find it in New Age. You're not going to find it anywhere, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the only light that God has ever sent into this world. And He is the only one who can dissipate the darkness of sin and bring us into a restored relationship with God. Can I hear an amen on that one? And that's why we preach Jesus Christ. Why? Because there is no other way. There is no other light. And that is what we are announcing at Christmas, the coming of the light, so that each of us individually could experience the liberating power at the cross. Where will you find that light? At the foot of the cross. How many have ever sung that song? At the cross where I first saw the... Hallelujah. But it's at the cross. The cross doesn't get preached a lot anymore either. But that's where we see the light. That's when the light goes off. I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I'm lost. I realize my good works and my good intentions and the good parts of me are not enough to cleanse me of my sin before God. I've got to repent. I've got to get right with God. I've got to receive Jesus as my Savior, because He died for me on the cross. And when we come to that realization, the light comes on. And when we actually embrace Him as Savior, the light comes in. And when the light comes in, the darkness goes. And that's when there is a change of life. And let me tell you something else. The fact that darkness, the only answer to it is light, and the fact that the only light is God's only Son, that is also why a social gospel will not do the job. We can do social programs until all the billions that the government has and we have and everybody else has are depleted, and it won't bring one person out of darkness and into the light.
Not one.
It'll feed some people. It'll do some good. And we're not against that. And the Lord says that as believers, we're supposed to do those things, but it won't get anybody out of the darkness. The only thing that'll bring somebody out of darkness is the gospel message. And let's go to number five. God's light came at Christmas. That little baby. He's the light. We talk about the heavenly light and the light from the angels and all that. That was all a part of that. But the light was laying right there. And Simeon, you know, takes him in his arms and, oh, he says, now, Lord, you know, you can dismiss your servant in peace because my eyes have seen your salvation which you have prepared in the sight of all the people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Aren't you glad that God didn't limit his light just to, say, the Jewish nation or something? But the light, he is the light of the what? The world. And he becomes your light and he becomes my light when we embrace him as Savior. Now, remember what we said about Eden? And remember everything we said that is a direct result of Eden? Well, let me tell you some things that are a direct result of the light coming into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you hear about somebody, they accepted Jesus, they got saved, and they're a changed person, and they are no longer like they used to be. That is a direct result of Jesus having come and of the light having come. Every time that you hear that some people are on the outs with each other, but they prayed about it, and the Lord convicted them about it, and they got together, and they made the peace. What is that a direct result of? Of the Lord Jesus Christ having come. Every time you hear about another couple that's going to leave home and leave everything that's dear to them to go to the Philippines or Indonesia or Japan or South America or Africa or Europe or somewhere in order to spread this good news at high personal cost, that is a direct result of the light having come. Every time you hear of someone else who actually laid down their life in the pursuit of spreading the gospel, that is a direct result of the light having come. And these are the stories that we want to hear at Christmas. What is your Christmas story? And these are the types of things that the Lord wants to do. I put here at the end, Jesus came to dispel the darkness and bring us deliverance, forgiveness, hope, peace, love, eternal life, and so much more. Of all the people in the world, we who have experienced the light of Jesus, we have the most to celebrate. We may not be rocking around a Christmas tree. I'm not even sure of the advisability of that. But we'll be celebrating more than anybody. Amen? Because we really have something to celebrate. And it is the fact that what? The light has come. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you that the light has come. So now, I guess the question is, what has our response been to the light? And also, even as believers, what is our daily response to the light that you have brought and that you have placed within us? So, Lord, I pray today, help us to understand how bad the bad news is, but then help us to understand how good the good news is, and that you have brought Jesus in order to fix everything that was wrong. So, Lord, today, as we approach this Christmas season, give us that frame of mind, give us that way of thinking, and may we not miss an opportunity to spread the light and to tell again the good news of the coming of the Savior. And may we not miss an opportunity to worship you yet again and get on our knees like those shepherds did. And get on our knees like the Magi did and worship Christ.
Christ the Lord, because everything we are and everything we look forward to in eternity is because he came, and we praise your name. And I just wonder, I don't do this often, but while every head is bowed and every eye closed, is there anyone here who would say, Pastor Eby, I'm really not where I need to be with the Lord, or I haven't really fully embraced Jesus as the light of my life and as my Savior, but I would like to do that right now. I would like to do that today. Could I see your hand if there is anyone here today? This would be the best time ever to really come to the light and to say, you know, a couple weeks before Christmas of 2011, that's when I can date. Somebody asked me recently, the youth asked me last Sunday night, when and how did you come to know Jesus? And I was able to tell them. And you could trace it back to right now. Anyone, before we close this part. Father, we just ask that you would continue to work in our hearts today and continue to just change us, Lord, and just that your light would just wash over us today, that we would really know when we talk about the light of Jesus, we would really know what we're talking about and that others would know. Because you sent him, but we've got to receive him. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.